Many years ago, a man from Huntersville had an urgent prayer question for God. And he had heard that in various Presbyterian churches somewhere in the country, that there was a golden pay telephone. Now, some of you do not know what a pay telephone is. There was a time when you could not carry your phone in your pocket. Y'all know that. And if you weren't at home, you had to go to places called a payphone, and you put money in it, and then you could talk to somebody somewhere. So what happens is, this man says, well, I'm going to go find this payphone. And so he said, I'm going to Los Angeles for a city of angels. Surely it'll be there. Well, he goes into the Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. Sure enough, right there in the lobby, this golden telephone with a sign that says, call heaven here. He was really excited. He walked up, and he saw underneath that, long distance toll, $10,000. Well, talking to God was more expensive than he had in mind. So he said, I'll go to St. Louis. You know, those saints, they took a vow of poverty, and so maybe it won't be as much. So he goes to St. Louis. Sure enough, right there in the lobby of the Presbyterian Church with a golden pay telephone that said, call heaven here. Underneath it said, long distance call, $10,000. So he goes to Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Maybe the love would be so great there that he'd go and it'd be a lot less. So he sees, wow, there he is, a Presbyterian church in the lobby, this golden pay telephone that says, call heaven here. And underneath, long distance toll, $10,000. He's disgusted, he gives up. So on the way back to Huntersville, he stops at Davidson College and goes into the Presbyterian church there. And sure enough, right there in the lobby, shocking to him, was a golden pay telephone. And it says, call heaven here, 25 cents. So he's shocked. He goes to the pastor and said, I've been all over the country, and everywhere I go, it's a long distance toll, $10,000 to call heaven, but here it's 25 cents. What gives? The pastor said, oh, you see, this is Davidson. From here, it's only a local call. True. True statement. Yeah. Well, this is Meadow Lake. This is the body of Christ. We are a small church that has a big impact for Him. And His great promise of Jesus is when two or three of us are gathered in His name as we are this morning, that He's here. And He's here so we can speak to Him and ask Him questions. And He will answer them, and it doesn't cost us a cent. See, what I learned this week, even more so, is that's what He wants us to do. Helga, who's married to Hagar the Horrible, has this message for us. So she has apparently been asking God about probably Hagar and straightening him out. And Helga says to God, thank you for all your divine guidance. God responds, I'm glad I could help you. And then God says, before you go, would you mind taking a brief survey? See, God would like to know, what are your questions that you have unanswered in your heart that are burning questions for you? And so, this is what we're going to start our journey, is asking questions of Jesus. Because He has the answers, He just wants us to know what our questions are. Well, I got some very profound, provocative, and soul-searching questions from you. And I've lined them up. And over this fall, Jesus is going to be answering those questions. The one we're going to start with is the one that came up the most over and over again, and that is this question, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's an important question because it speaks to our understanding of the nature of God. It speaks to our understanding about the way life works. And it speaks to what happens when life does not seem to be working at all. We ask this question because bad things happen. Here's one of them. As Bob said, this time 15 years ago, a bad thing happened. And a lot of people died. I'm going to speak to this issue 2 weeks from now, but not today. And this happens. That's a snapshot of what happened at Hurricane Katrina on a day when Louisiana is suffering again from a disastrous flood. And this happens. Cancer. Cancer strikes. And it begins sucking the life out of us. And we pour in this life-giving substance that we call chemo treatment. And we know about cancer in this room. Oh, well, we do. Well, one woman, thank goodness, found some humor in this, and I have cleared this with both Angela and Sally. She has created this t-shirt in the midst of this bad thing. It says, "My oncologist does my hair." As Sally and I often say, you might as well laugh about it from time to time. So Jesus is going to answer this question this morning about why bad things happen to good people. But we're going to begin with two misrepresentations that underlie this question. And the first misrepresentation is this: that we are good people. And because we're good people, we deserve to have only good things happen, not bad. In the corollary, that is, bad people should not have good things happen to them, only bad. Well, the problem is that none of us are completely good. If you're perfect this morning, I will turn the mic over to you. Any volunteers? Didn't think so. So you see, in Jesus, if you read, a part of today is about actually looking at the gospel. Jesus does not distinguish between sins. He doesn't have a rank murder here and lying here. And in fact, the sin that Jesus focuses on most is the one on which we fall short the most, which is to love each other, unearned, unconditional, as He loves us. Which means, Jesus says, we are to love our enemies, even those enemies we talked about a few minutes ago. To pray for those people who hurt you the most. And do not, Jesus says, overcome evil with evil, or with force, but with good. My friends, we are all bad people in that sense. And Jesus knows it. At best, our very best, we can give the answer that this student in our Sunday school class did. And I know where the teacher was coming from, but she said, "Okay, children, this morning I want you to imagine that all bad children are red, painted red, and all the good children are painted green." She said, "Now, which would you be?" And after a pause, one young, very smart lad raised his hand and he said, "Striped." Interestingly, and I couldn't pass up this opportunity, when Katrina struck New Orleans, some pompous, pious, pontificating, self-righteous preachers, you know who they are, proclaimed that this was God's punishment on New Orleans because they were such sinners down there, drinking, gambling, carousing. The interesting thing is, at the center of sin, so as self-defined, is the French Quarter. The French Quarter was barely touched by Katrina, and numerous churches were destroyed. To be sure, my friends, we are all precious children of God, and God loves us with an unshakable love, but we are all sinners. So let us hope, my friends, that God does not reward us based on whether we are good or whether we are bad. The second key misrepresentation here, and this is going to hurt some feelings this morning, is what I hear the most, and that's this: it's all part of God's plan. Everything happens for a reason, apparently some reason known only to God. You and I, my friends, we're not like this. We're not puppets where God is just maneuvering us around, ourselves, our relationships, ending up with us staring up at heaven, being jerked around like a puppet, saying, "What is God going to do to me next?" We're not puppets, friends. There is absolutely nothing in the gospel that says you're a puppet. That God jerks you around by some plan you have no idea what it is and does something to you for some reason that is indecipherable to you. God doesn't do that. No, my friends, God does not do bad things to us. God does not give 6-year-olds and 60-year-olds cancer. God does not kill your teenager in a traffic accident. God does not take away your job or destroy your marriage or push old people downstairs. God does not plug up your heart or stir up hate-filled politicians or start wars that kill millions of people and send millions more as refugees to try to find life for their children, and the doors are shut in their face. No, God doesn't do those things. They do happen for a reason. Here are some of the reasons. A cell just goes awry in our mortal bodies. You are not going to live forever. Bodies deteriorate. Stuff happens. And we get cancer. Someone drives carelessly or drunkenly, or their brakes fail. Your boss doesn't like you. Your wife decides the grass is greener somewhere else. Older people start struggling with their balance. Our diet and our exercise for 20 years is unhealthy. What do you expect? Hate stirs up your voters, when you spew hate to your political opponent. That's why we have hate-filled politicians, because of us. God doesn't start wars. Wars start because of pride and greed and lust for power and caring less about all the lives that will suffer, and because people do not have the courage to speak up for peace because it's unpopular. I admit that none of us knows fully the mind of God. And it's possible that God reaches down and zaps us with some plan for some reason that we cannot decipher. But the truth is, there is one who knows the mind of God. And that one is only good. And that one only does good. That one is Jesus, who is God in the flesh. Jesus reveals the truth of the gospel. In a especially powerful way, he says in these words in John's gospel, "Anyone who sees me has seen the Father. For the Father and I, we're one." These words I speak, these are not my words, these are God's words. Because he lives in me. And he works in me. You want to know whether God causes bad things to happen to good people or any people? Look at me. See whether I've ever did that to someone. Jesus begins his answer to our question by revealing what he says and what he does, the mind of God and the role of God in bad things. This is a two-part message, this week and next week. Jesus reveals this through two scriptures. The first one we're going to begin with now this morning, which is the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he begins preaching and healing. And he's doing this in the region of Galilee. Well, that's significant because the majority of Galileans are non-believers, Gentiles they call them, which means in the eyes of the Jewish faith, which is the faith of Jesus, they're bad people. But that's where he begins his ministry and where this story takes place this morning. So Jesus' ministry begins this way, revealing the mind and the way of God with respect to bad things and how God responds to bad things. When the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught with authority, not as the teachers of the law. Then a man possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Have you come to destroy evil?" is the question. "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Be quiet. Come out of this man." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and screamed and came out. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him?" So news about Jesus spread quickly everywhere in the region of Galilee. Early the next morning, before daylight, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go to the other villages so I can preach in them also. That is why I have come." So he traveled all over Galilee, preaching and healing all kinds of diseases, and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him for help. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, pause there. Hit the pause button. Leprosy was this dread disease because it was highly contagious. Eventually, it would eat your body alive and you would die. And if anybody touched a leper, then they would also contract the disease. And the problem was, when you had leprosy, you were banned from your family, from the community. You were an outcast. When you went by, everybody covered their faces and shouted, "Unclean!" That's who this man comes to Jesus. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And he reached out and touched the man. Touched this leper. Jesus says, "I am willing," he answered. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. Jesus sent him away saying, "Do not tell this to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest. Let him examine you and prove to everyone you're cured. And offer the sacrifices that Moses ordered." Instead, the man went out and began to spread the good news wherever he went. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, so he was stayed outside, away from the places. And people came to him from everywhere. Did you see this? Jesus is fighting. He's not fighting against some secret bad things plan of God. What Jesus is doing is he is fighting for God. He is God fighting. He is curing diseases, not causing them. He is driving out evil spirits, not doing evil in people's lives. And he's bringing someone out of social isolation, bringing them back to their families. You see, Jesus shows us that God doesn't cause bad things. He fights bad. He doesn't impose evil in your life. He drives it out. He doesn't separate you from your family and the life he wants for you. He brings you back in. See, Jesus reveals the mind of God and the plan of God. Here's the plan of God: to fight evil, cure diseases, reconcile people to each other. And we know, my friends, that God can never afflict us with what is bad. How do we know that? Because God so loved the world, loved everyone in this room, that he sent Jesus not to just teach and preach and heal, but to die. To take away the bad stuff and the evil in your life. And to be resurrected to be your living Lord so he can give you not bad things, but abundant life. Not a bad ending to your life, but eternal life, a heavenly life. You see, Jesus shows us that God does not do bad things. He fights the bad to give us good. Now, some of you are asking this question. The question is, well, if God is good, Pastor, God is powerful, he can heal all these diseases, then why does he allow, by omission, bad things to happen? Millions of pages and thousands of books have been written to try to answer that question. When I was a part of my lawyer group, we read and discussed a book by a great theologian, he is great, named Hans Kuhn. It was 1,023 pages. We read every page. We argued about every 10 pages. Lawyer, what do you want? It took us like 6 months to read this book. I wasn't in favor of this book, by the way. 1,023 pages, I am not interested. But we read it, and we fought about it. We read it. At the end of the day, after 1,023 pages, you know what this great theologian said? I have no idea. That's what he said. He could not find a satisfactory answer. You know why he couldn't find a satisfactory answer? Because he never looked at the gospel. You see, there is an answer in the gospels. I know what that answer is. because a long time ago, I was satisfied with it and I live it. And when I began this series and this question, I made a big mistake. I started listening to other people saying, oh, here's what I think. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what you think. Honestly, does it? What matters is what does Jesus think? So Jesus just brought me back. Actually, it took him all the way to Friday afternoon for him to finally drill this from his head. Look, Fred, you know this. You live this. So just offer the truth. I told Sally last night, I said, honey, some people are going to think this is stupid because they're not going to agree with me. Who cares, really? And she looked at me with that look. Now, I know this look. This is a look when I'm about to get a lecture. Y'all know this look? You guys know this look? Okay, it's this look. And Sally says, Fred, it's never stupid when it's the Word of God. That's what I'm going to offer you today. So here's what happens. If you look at the gospel, nobody ever asked Jesus this question except one time. Does that sort of bother you that you're asking this question and nobody asked Jesus this question? Well, that tells about us. I'll tell you in a minute what that tells about us. You know what? I'm going to leave that out. So it happens one time, sort of. So Jesus at the end of his ministry, this is the Gospel of John. And they're walking along, and there's this man who's blind from birth. And disciples say, who caused this to happen? And Jesus responds. Can you imagine being blind from birth? That's a bad thing, isn't it? Nobody knows whether it's a good person or a bad person. That's the question that gets asked. So, here's what happens. Walking down the street, this is a Message version. Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents causing him to be born blind? Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. Look instead for the good that God can do. We need, Jesus said, to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here. Working while the sun shines, for as long as I am with you, as long as I am with you, Jesus said, there is plenty of light, for I am the light of the world. You see, Jesus moves us from asking why do big bad things happen to what good can we do with God when it happens? We can pontificate. We can fabricate. The answer is bad. How do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? Questions. Based on what we think, what maybe somehow makes us feel good, some answer we read on the internet or somebody told us at a party. But this is not your answer. This is Jesus' answer. When bad things happen, Jesus declared to us, don't get so mired down in some philosophical, obviously unanswerable question of who or what to blame. And for Jesus' sake, don't blame God for some bad, undecipherable plan, some hidden secret reason. Jesus says, if nothing changes, nothing is good that comes when we get bogged down in that question. Instead, Jesus calls us to trust in the obvious goodness of God. Revealed in Jesus himself, in every word he said, in everything he ever did. And then to work with our good God to bring goodness into the bad. Paul agrees with Jesus. In his letter to the church at Rome, he was confronted with bad things. He starts talking about bad things that leaves us utterly speechless. Paul says God works for good in all things for people who love him, who are called according to his purpose. In other words, who work with God because they trust his love. What is God's purpose? For us to work with him to do God, do good. And the bad stuff happens. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to offer to you three real life examples of how Jesus says we do this. The first one is not personal, but I know it. The other two are personal. The third one is very personal. So when bad things happen, God can and will do what is good if we'll just pray. You see, before Jesus faced those bad things and all the people that were coming to him with all this bad stuff in their life, what did he do? He prayed. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, if you will ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you keep knocking, the door will be open. Jesus says, if you know how to do good things for your children, how much more good will God give you if you'll just ask him? We know this is true. Why in the world do you think we offer these intercessory prayers every single Sunday morning? Why do you think I pray for you every day of the week except Monday and only 5 minutes on Sunday? Why do we do that? Because we have seen that Jesus is right. And when we pray, good happens. The power of God when we ask. Now, Jesus does not always give us what we define as good. Y'all with me on this one? But he will always give us what is good, the good that we need. So this is what Tony Campolo learned. I shared with you a few years ago. It is so powerful a story to me. He had this healing service. This woman brought her husband and said, please pray for my husband to heal his cancer. And Tony laid his hands on the man and prayed that God would cure him. 3 months later, the woman called him. So, Tony, I cannot thank you enough for what you did for my husband when you prayed for God to heal his cancer. Tony was all excited, said, I'm so glad to hear that your husband has been cured of his cancer. And she said, No, he died 2 weeks ago. You didn't cure his cancer, but you healed him. See, when he got cancer, and this is very understandable, he got bitter. He got angry. He got mad. He couldn't find joy in just the gift of the breath of one day. And his bitterness and anger drove away his family and his friends. But when you prayed for him, something happened. His heart was changed. He began to be grateful for the gifts of the day. He began to find joy in life. A joy for the people that you put in his life. He would reconcile with his children, with his family, with his friends. And we were all gathered around him on the moment he died, telling him how much we loved him. No, Tony, you did not cure my husband. By the power of prayer, you healed him. God is so good, she says. Yeah, friends, when bad things happen, don't ask why. Ask what? The answer is pray. God will do what is good. When bad things happen, God can and will do what is good when we work. You see, Jesus pushes us. Be energetically at work with the one who sent me, and there will be light. This is a good and bad things that our friends Don and Kathy Gately learned. Don was a classmate of mine. They were good people, my friends. They went to church every Sunday. They taught Sunday school, and they did good things. Lots of good things. Well, in 1999... Don was pulling his son on the inland waterway. His son's name was Adams. They were skiing. And Adams hit a submerged stump and died instantly. Can you imagine being that father? Well, Kathy and Don's faith was shaken. And their friends from the church gathered around them and lifted them up just by being there. A few months later, they had the courage to go to Don and Kathy and say, what about honoring Adams in some way that is good? I got to tell you about Adams. Sally and I knew Adams. He was a wonderful young man. He was an Eagle Scout, graduated from high school, was amazing. Because he had a significant learning disability. Went to a place called the Fletcher School. And they got him through. And he was ready to go to college. I can tell you now, everybody loved Adams. So they prayed with Kathy and Don about them. And God led them to get to work for the Fletcher School. Fletcher School was an amazing place for children with learning disabilities. But they were in this church, and they were in cramped quarters, and they really couldn't carry out their mission. and they needed money to jumpstart a new place. So Kathy and Don know a lot of people, including Sally and me. So they started having these golf tournaments, and 1,000 people came to the dinner at least. I didn't play golf. I know better than that. God works for good, but not in everything. Over a period of a few years, they raised $3 million. And this happened. That's the Fletcher School today. There's a wing of that building named for Adams Gately. And children for whom bad things have happened, a learning disability can be a bad thing. They're blessed by this. Jesus says, if you will work for me, with God, good things happen in the midst of bad. And a beautiful thing happened in Don and Kathy's life. They remember Miss Adams every day. Oh, yeah, they do. But the past does not hold them back. Their lives are full of joy. And I'm telling you, friends, they serve God in ways they never did before. You work for God to do good in the midst of bad, that's what happens. And when bad things happen, God can and will do what is good if we trust Jesus. See, Jesus makes this promise in the face of all bad things. As long, Jesus says, that I am with you, there is plenty of light, for I am the light for the world, for the life of your world. I just probably shouldn't talk about Sally all the time, but we know about bad things. And it's personal. So I can actually talk about it authentically. So you know that Sally and I are hit with a really bad thing, Sally more than me, October 28th of 2014. We're coming up on the anniversary. When Sally discovered she had ovarian cancer, stage 3 point whatever, almost 4. And then on her birthday, December 9th of 2015, she learned another bad thing, that the ovarian cancer had decided to metastasize to her brain. The doctor says, how did that happen? You got a brain barrier? How did it happen? They always say about Sally, you're a complicated person. Yep, they're right about that. See, yet Sally understands the truth of the answer Jesus gives us. We can ask, why this bad thing happened? How does that change anything? How does that bring about good in the midst of this really terrible, bad thing? You see, there's this option for us. Disappointment is inevitable. Defeat is optional. Sally has decided to go from disappointment to doing, as Jesus calls her to do. So instead of defeat, Sally has done beautiful things, good things, by having the courage to share her story, by having the courage to let me talk about her up here. And do you know how her sharing her story about how she's weak and how she weeps and how some days she's afraid? Wow, that has changed lives, my friends, because she trusted Jesus that he would walk with her through this valley. Every night now, I say the 23rd Psalm to her. Because he is our shepherd, my friends. And he walks us through the valleys, if we trust him. And Sally has inspired people with her courage. By the way, she does not want me to say this. Please do not say to Sally after worship, you inspire me. Just don't, that just bothers her, okay? Just treat her like a person, all right? Is that okay, honey? No, it's not okay. So she inspires people. She thinks this is nothing. She goes to Y every day. She goes to physical therapy every day. She goes to her meetings at Queens University. She keeps on with life, even on the days I'm telling her she does not want to do it because she's hurting and she's tired. And her balance is bad. And she's a little confused every now and then. She can't remember everything. But she goes anyway because Jesus is walking with her. And she got a booster shot 2 weeks ago. An amazing place where it happened. She was on the phone with the people of American Airlines trying to get her frequent flyer confirmed. Y'all ever done that? That's a bad thing right there. Of course, you went online, of course, we hit the button, it doesn't work. No seats available. Well, you're just looking at the diagram, and like 50 seats available. So we're trying to go to Fairfax to visit our daughter. So she gets on the phone, and she talks to Maureen. So Maureen, actually, unlike the website, actually says, yeah, there are two seats right there. So she's given Sally this confirmation number. And Sally says, Maureen, just hold a minute. I'm going to have to write this down because I have brain cancer, and I can't remember everything. And Maureen said, do not claim it. In the name of Jesus, do not claim it, Sally. In the name of Jesus. And Sally starts crying, shockingly. And she gets out, I'll try. They got the confirmation number all figured out. And Sally started to hang up the phone. Maureen said, Sally, do not claim it in the name of Jesus. Do not claim it. Now, friends, when bad things happen to you, do not claim it yourself. Do not say, this cancer is mine. No, you take that cancer and say, Jesus, you claim it. You claim it, Jesus, because you promised me that if I'm with you, that darkness is going to be light. In the midst of this bad thing, when Jesus claims it, there'll be good. That's a promise.